Okay, good evening. Great to be here tonight. Praise the Lord. Pastor Barry and I came back from Hungary. I wanted to put the map up on the screen here of Hungary. So I don't know how that works exactly. There it is. Okay. Hungary is about the size of the state of Indiana, a little bit smaller than Ohio, a little bit smaller than Pennsylvania. It's about 10 million people live there. Now, in 1990, a team went here to Budapest, and we started to do the mission work and preaching and teaching, and we started a Bible college and God raised up disciples and pastors and men that wanted to follow Christ and do the work of the ministry. So 20 years have passed or more. What is that? We're 32 years. Thank you for the math. Yeah, 32 years. And then 3 years because of COVID and other things, maybe primarily COVID, we haven't been there. So we went for 1 week and asked the body to pray. And I got to give the report back that we felt it. We had a fantastic time, and I'm asking Pastor Barry to come up and say a few words. Before I continue, we want to say, too, we have a pastor's retreat Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and I went through the list of names. I think there's 150 names there of men that are coming, and we're going to spend time in prayer and talk about preaching and pastoring, and wow, I'm very excited about that. We have Pastor Chris Moore on the stage over here in the lower position, and we got Pastor Kent Fires over here from Florida. Anybody else here from out of town that's coming for the pastor's retreat, just stand up, and we want to know. Pastor Adam Speedy, awesome. Anybody else? Great. I'm very encouraged, especially after our time in Hungary, coming back and feeling the authority, spiritual blessing that happens with us in the body of Christ. So we met pastors here in Budapest that are the Greater Grace pastors, of course. And then we did, we went down here to Kaposvar. Where is that? Somewhere down here. It's not on the map. Wow, that was fun. Pastor Janos, his wife's amazing. They have the house there in the countryside. Then they built on the back end like a cafeteria for the church. So they have the church leaders come over and eat together, a brick oven, and we sang songs and just had a beautiful time and grilled food and sang and shared, and they testified and spoke about what Christ has done, by his grace. So it was awesome. And then we went down here to Kecskemét. Let's see, that's this one here. We met a group there. And then for a lunch, hour and a half or 2 hours, and then we went down here to Szeged that same day, and we had a group there, and we and just shared. And I got to say, the encouragement that comes from God, the Spirit of God in the work, is just such a blessing. So there's other places in the country. Kaposvár is here. Sorry, went down here. And then we have a church in here in Székesfehérvár, let's see, Szeged, and then around the country in various different places there's people. So I have a theme. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians, just to point it out to you. And look at chapter 2. And I'll give you the lesson, a short, what the message will be later in the evening here. So let's go to a sketch. Let's see, how do I get to, which one is it? Is it this one? No. What do I write on? Oh, good. Well, that was easy. Wow. Oh, my. All right. Here is Paul. Let's see. Can I get a white? I think I use a white. Okay. Here's the Apostle Paul. And he sends Titus, right? Yeah, Titus, with a letter over to Corinth. So Corinth is a city, and the Corinthians are there. And so Titus comes. Titus comes with the letter. This is in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. He sends a letter. It's kind of tough. It's kind of harsh. It's kind of strong. And then Paul isn't hearing anything back. He's not hearing anything back. So he starts to get worried about it. It says he has no rest in his spirit. He is troubled by it. He has not heard back from them. So this is a good principle. To look at 2 Corinthians 2, and we have verse 4. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote unto you with many tears. This is how a pastor feels sometimes, and how you may feel sometimes in your relationship with people. I wrote to you, or I reached out, and I had a trouble in my heart. Look at verse 1, but I determined this with myself that I would not come again to you in heaviness. See, he did come to them. He had a visit there, but it was a little bit troublesome. Later, he wrote a letter in verse 2, if I make you sorry, who is then that makes me glad? This is a beautiful writing about relationships that are important to us. And why do I say this? Because Hungary is a country where many of us spent many years with these amazing people, and we care about them. There's Zsombor there, one of the son of Pastor Bendigus and Esther. This is beautiful. We care. We care about each other. We care about the churches in Greater Grace. Affiliation, graduates from our schools, people that come to conventions, people, we are praying for you in India. We are praying for you in Africa. We are visiting you in conferences. We are caring about you. This is a beautiful principle. But I want to say something about Paul's anxiety. He had no rest in his spirit, and his worry and his troubled sense of what is going on over there. I want to bring that out tonight in our message. Go to verse chapter 2 and verse 3. I write this same unto you, lest when I come I should have sorrow from them of whom I ought to rejoice. Wow. I might have sorrow from you. Now, let's bring it home to you. Have you ever been, something happened, you bring your child to the hospital, they're in the emergency room, and you're outside in the waiting room wanting to know, how is it my child? How are they okay? What is happening? Or somebody travels abroad, you don't hear from them, or there's some anxiety, some worry that you have in your heart. that happens to us. So I have to be honest, I was concerned about Hungary for these years because we just simply didn't have that opportunity. We didn't have it. So let's go to the text here. Verse 12. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was open unto me of the Lord. If I had a map, I don't have the map here, but I want to just say, Paul went first to Troas. On the way to Macedonia, but first he came here, and he was very troubled because he hadn't met Titus coming back from Corinth. And furthermore, Titus was carrying money to the Corinthians. So it could be that Titus was robbed on the way or even on the way back, bandits. So read verse 13. I had no rest in my spirit because I found not Titus, my brother. But taking my leave of them, I went from thence into Macedonia. So he went further to Macedonia. This is this part in Greece called Macedonia. So he went there, and that's where he met him. Now, thanks be unto God, and here's the thing, verse 14, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, makes manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. So that's where we want to share tonight. I want to kind of bring that out a little bit and what this means. Now, what it means to me is when we went there, I understood two things. One is how we are as people and how easily we lack or miss a ministry that is very much needed. We need a ministry. I saw that, and these brothers were amazing. We had such a good time. We had very good, intimate, personal talks with people. Very encouraged time. Very encouraged. I cannot emphasize it enough. Very important. Very meaningful. Very good. Our relationships are very important to us. And so the fragrance of Christ, the fragrance. Now, I always think in our language we have two words about smelling. The good smell, we say, is fragrance. And the bad word for some smelling is stinking. And in English, it's very good because this is really what this brings out. That we could either be fragrance to people or some bad odor of something rotten or stinking. But the same person can emit the same thing. And the way they perceive us doesn't have to do with us as much as it depends on their nose. It depends on them. If they are unsaved, then we stink. If they are saved, then we have a fragrance. Let's read it. Chapter 2, verse 15. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ. That's fragrance. That means in the Old Testament, when you burn lamb, it has a certain smell, a fragrance that is really, really pleasant to us. And also in the Roman processions, when a victorious general returned, they would burn incense. And I remember reading about the Romans importing like 10,000 pounds of frankincense from the Middle East. And they would burn this the spice or incense, yeah. They would burn it at funerals, and they would burn it as they worshiped their gods. And you can just imagine, and they did these parades, these marches, and Paul has it in mind of a Roman procession. That's in verse 15, isn't it? Or no, it's 14. Makes manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. He makes us triumph in Christ, for we are a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and them that perish. To the one we are the savor of death unto death. That means the stinking is to one, and to the other we are a fragrance of life unto life. And he says, who is sufficient for these things? How could anybody? And this is what I feel in my heart, in my spirit, that you and I, and by the way, this past week I heard you guys had an awesome week. We had a great women's seminar, and then all the preaching, all the ministry, the love, the faith, the attitude of the body of Christ is, I was in Budapest in my hotel room, and I was watching a service, and I just thought, wow, I could imagine being on the mission field and watching a service from Baltimore and just seeing the liberty, see the joy, listen to the music, watch the service, and say, wow, I'm a part of this church. That's amazing. I'm a part of this. So it's like that, and then we go, and we are sensing not something that stinks. We are sensing the fragrance in every place. Who is sufficient for these things? How can that be done humanly? That is not humanly possible. But that the life of Christ that is in you, the ministry of Christ, the words of Christ, the faith of Christ, the joy of Christ, the wisdom of Christ, the relationships that are so important. So when Titus came to Paul, and Titus basically said this, he goes, they are for you, Paul. The Corinthians are for you. Yes, there are false apostles. Yes, there are false teachers. But that just kind of goes its own way. But this is God and the Corinthians, God and the Corinthians, and what God has done in the hearts. So when he writes this epistle, he is telling them how I felt, how I was concerned, and then when Titus came, what he said to me, and I'm so encouraged, and then he gives his warnings about false apostles. He writes about people that cheat and that lie and do their things. He did it in the Galatians. He did it in 2 Corinthians, and he did it in 2 Timothy chapters 3 and 4. Yeah, and he did it in 1 Timothy chapter 4 also to Timothy, saying, meditate. So this, I'm just kind of stirred up in my heart. I am so happy for what the Spirit does with people who are humble, who walk before God, and have a ministry of life. And I just want to give a good report about that back to you. So thank you for that. Welcome, Pastor Barry.
What can we say to those things? I mean, we can't really add except that I got to witness a few things on this trip. And first of all, our pastor's heart is amazing. And you know, when you're faced with situations that are a little bit unclear, you know, you go in there, and I was relating it in my mind to Abraham going up the mountain with his son, you know, the son that was promised to him and that he had to wait until he was nearly 100 to have. And God saying, you know, take your son, I want you to offer him on the altar. And son saying, Dad, I see the wood. Dad, I see the fire. Where is the offering? And Abraham says, the Lord will provide for himself a lamb, you know. And it was like, no question. It's like, the Lord will provide. And yet, in his heart, you can imagine, I would feel fear, I would feel trembling, I would feel nervousness. And he says he was persuaded that if God took him, he was able to raise him again. There wasn't even a question, right? And I got to witness that kind of faith this week. And the beautiful part about that whole episode is that when God does provide the ram in the thicket, he names the place Yahweh Jireh, right? My provider. Doesn't name it the place where I was scared to death, but I came through because I trusted God and I was really on the ball and I was with it and, man, it was hard and I was suffering. He just says, God provides. God provides. And that's the way this trip went. You know, we go there with the prayers of the body. And when Pastor Schaller said, I felt the prayers of the body, so many people sent me messages and told us, we're praying for your trip. We're thinking about this. God, please do a mighty work. And I can tell you wholeheartedly that it was unequivocally, prayers were answered. We would pray in the morning for meetings and circumstances, and then we'd watch God come in an amazing way. And time will tell, you know, how much that has happened. But I really believe, I just came away from there. It was 1 week, and, you know, you saw the map. It's like land, go around, Bible. We came from the airport, and we met 50 people waiting for us, and fellowship and sandwiches and the word, and, you know, to the hotel, and then the next morning, and then the next afternoon, and then the next evening, and just, it was so awesome. It was so awesome. And just finally, Pastor Schaller preached about the woman in 2 Kings 4, about, you know, the woman who saw the prophet and sensed that he was a man of God and built a little chamber in her home for the man of God. And why is that? Because of the message. She needed to know the message from the man of God. And there was such an awesome experience. You know, one of the places where we went, the pastor said, you know, when I was thinking early on about joining the ministry, and I asked you, Pastor Schaller, how does that happen? Does it happen through, you know, a formal affiliation? And he said, no, it happens with a handshake and trust in the heart and in the Lord and faithfulness to God. And he was repeating this, and it's been, you know, decades. And he was repeating that I remember that you said it's the trust in the heart, and that's why we have this relationship. And the message, you know, there's no lack. When there's no lack in the Word of God, then there's people with grace lives because they hear the Word of God and they realize who they are in Christ. And you can see when somebody's really feasting on the Word of God, you can tell because their lives are just exhibiting that feast. And I really got to sense that this week. So thank you for your prayers. Thank you for keeping us lifted up. And we're going to see, I really believe we're going to see the fruit of this trip well on into the future. And so many people said, please send our love. Let the church know we're so thankful for them and we are praying. So amen and thank you for that.
Thank you so much. Before we give the message, short but good message, I said that a long time. I said that. And I checked my watch, and wow, that was a long message. But okay, so we love it. Yeah. All right, could you turn to your neighbor and just say, are you going to go to Hungary in March for Eurocon? We're going to Hungary in March. And are you going to learn Hungarian? And are you going to save your money? Are you going to go to Hungary for Eurocon? Yeah. Okay, second question. Let's pray for the pastor's retreat and pray that God will really impart his life and wisdom and love. So would you turn to your neighbor and just say, let's have a prayer for that right now. So let's do that. Pastor's retreat. Yes, Lord. Pastor's retreat. Yes, Lord. Lord Jesus. Our country needs, Lord, the word, the fire, the anointing, the grace, the love, the unity, the body. Our country needs youth pastors and ladies of counsel and wisdom, circles of Bible study groups and prayer meetings and the word of life everywhere in our families. Our children need it. Our teenagers need it. Our country needs it, God. We are lost. We have lost our way. Please bless this couple days together with the authority of heaven, O God. Visit us, God. Help us. We would go back home with fire in our belly, God. Real conviction in our soul. Real joy unspeakable. Real conviction and understanding in life, God. And with friends and peace, deliverance and purpose. In Christ's name. Yes, Lord, for marriages, God, recovery, restoration, building up, finding the way in the wilderness, God, finding the way. You take the old pathway, find the old pathway and go therein, God, in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, turn to 2 Corinthians 7. This will be 10 or 15 minutes, I think, of a message. I want to point it out to you. We can read the text, 2 Corinthians 7. And I told you a little bit from 2 Corinthians 2 what his concern was. This is an autobiography, this letter, 2 Corinthians. If you really want to get into Paul's heart, and we do, because he's the one, he's our hero, by the way. He's the one that knows church planning. He's the one that knows about pastoring. He's the one that knows about fear, anxiety, worry, discouragement. He knows what it is to be pushed down and pressed down. And I did feel that one night when I was in Hungary in my hotel room, as we had finished an amazing day. But I feel that God allowed me to feel something and understand, like depression, loneliness, and fear. And thinking about losing everything that is valuable to you. Who lost everything that was valuable to him but Jesus Christ? But even when Christ was sweating drops of blood, when he was under an amazing amount of pressure and he was all alone and the Father was going to leave him, and he said those amazing words, Lord, take this cup away. But this is why he came. But he said, with you it's possible. If it is possible, take the cup away from me. What a prayer. I came for this, but I don't know if I can do it. If it is possible, because you are God, could you take this cup away? And if nevertheless, I came to do your will. Wow. I mean, could you imagine being just like the way we are as people, and like being brought to that empty place that is so good for us? When our relationships are on the rocks, when some of your best friend has forsaken you, or you're in trouble and you're losing everything, what an amazing place it is. And so here Paul says in chapter 7, and we could read a lot, but I want you to see verse. He kind of defends himself, but verse 3, I speak this not to condemn you, for I have said before that you are in our hearts to die and live with you. That's like amazing heart right there. I am with you. I am with you. What a heart that is. Father, Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. So my heart is with you. That's a great thought, isn't it? Verse 4. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. This is another good word. This is the Holy Spirit saying these amazing words of encouragement to these people. For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. I explained that to you a little bit. We had no rest because Titus, we couldn't meet him. We didn't find him. We were troubled. Where was Titus? Maybe he's been robbed by bandits or beaten up or something happened. Verse 6. Nevertheless, God that comforts those that are cast down. You're cast down because of your marriage. You're cast down because of your family. You're cast down because you lost a friend. You're cast down because the churches have left you. When in 2 Timothy 4, Paul said, and my first answer before Caesar, no man stood with me. Everybody forsook me, but the Lord stood with me and he strengthened me. I want you to see something. You have the life that many people live, which is under oppression, and then you have Christ that has you live above it. When you have nothing, or you are deeply troubled, or you are very much troubled on every side, verse 5, but God comforted us by the coming of Titus, verse 6. Titus came. Titus showed up. We had a talk. He encouraged me, verse 7. And not by his coming only, but by the consolation, the news that he brought, wherewith he was comforted in you, when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me. Imagine, I thought you were angry with me, but I find out that actually we have this oneness in mind and this love that you have for me, he said. This is the Apostle Paul. Your fervent mind toward me so that I rejoice the more. For though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent, though I did repent. Okay, what does that mean? I wrote a letter to you. After I wrote it and I sent it with Titus, I thought, oh, maybe I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. It's too strong. I wrote a letter, it's too strong. So he said, I wrote a letter. One part of me is I told you the truth. The other part of me, I'm sorry I sent it because I'm afraid you can't handle it. I'm afraid you're not able to receive it. I'm afraid it's going to break our relationship. I think every father has that with his adult children. Like, what do I say to my adult children? That what I say, will it drive them away? Or will it draw them near? I think every pastor has that challenge. Should I say this? Or can I minister it to them in such a way that they will receive it? That they will benefit from it? There are some people that'll say nothing because they want to preserve their relationships. But there's Paul who says, I didn't repent for saying it, but then I did. Because I'm in between in that whole world of like truth is important and I have to say it. No, I can't say it. I might drive them away. No, I have to say it because they will benefit from it. No, but if I say it, then maybe I will lose them. And that's what he was feeling, that he lost them. But when Titus came, Titus said, no, you didn't lose them. They are for you. There is a group that believes you are a false apostle, and therefore he wrote this epistle. I am not a false apostle, but there are false apostles among you, but I am telling you the truth. And by the way, you know I'm telling you the truth because what happened in your life was not from the flesh. It happened by the ministry of Christ. You were born again. You were edified. You had the Holy Spirit in your life. You were anointed of God. You had the liberty of God. You became worshipers of God, not pagans worshiping gods, but you became the worshiper of Almighty God. And the Holy Spirit made it clear to you who God is. That's the context. Go now to verse, 7. Not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you. When he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind. Oh, we already read that. I'm sorry. Verse 8. For though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent, though I did repent. And there's another thing about that. He has transparency. Because we are human beings. Have you ever said to somebody, forgive me, I made a mistake. Forgive me, I didn't treat you the right way. Have you ever done that? Turn to your neighbor and ask him, why don't you practice it for a minute? And just say to your neighbor, forgive me, I apologize. Can you say those words? Give it a practice run. Forgive me, I apologize. Come on. And if your wife is next to you, make sure you say it to her 2 times. Verse 8. For though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent, but I did repent. For I perceive that the same epistle has made you sorry, though it was for a season. There are seasons you go through, by the way, in life. You might go through a hard time, a season in the desert. You might be in a hard time, your heart, searching your heart. I love it. It says in Judges 5 that I think it was the tribe of Reuben had great searchings of heart because of what was going on. That's a good thing for us when the Holy Spirit is leading us in such a way that people get convicted by our lives. They get convicted not only by our words, but by how we live. I forgave or I apologized. Where I said, I'm sorry, that we actually do this, that we actually apologize for things, that we are open and transparent. We say, I wrote you a letter, I didn't repent, but actually I did, because I was worried about it, that it was going to make you sorry. But then I find out that you're sorry after a godly manner, like it works something good in you, and that's written here also. So I'm being open, and I want to encourage the Hungarians tonight and the Spirit of God speaking to us and the Polish and the Russians. And imagine the churches in Russia and their challenges. They are human beings in an interesting time. And the Ukrainians, a war going on in Europe. And the suffering and the pain and the trouble. Imagine just being a human being. And who are we? But we are ministers of Christ. We are able to take people that are in suffering and in trouble, and we're able to minister with the authority of Christ. This is amazing. I want to finish with that. Some people, when they hear authority, they don't like the word. But we love it. I love the word. I want the authority of God because he gave it to man when he made man. He said to reproduce, fill the earth. You have authority on the earth. I gave the earth to you, not to angels, Hebrews 2, but I gave it to man. And man is to keep the garden. He is to rule in the Garden of Eden. And he's to give names to the animals. And whatever name that a man would give to an animal would be the name that God would use for the animal. That if the man said elephant, God would say, that is an elephant. Because man gave the elephant that name. That means God has respect for us. That God made us in his image. That means that we work together with God. We have the authority of God. But this is not an authority to abuse people, or an authority to oppress, or an authority to have advantage. This is an authority to lay down our lives and serve where nobody else can. To show up and do something when nobody else can. That means the Spirit of God, Christ is on the cross. Nobody else could do it. Christ did it. The same Spirit. It says, by the way, Hebrews 9:14, he was crucified by the Holy Spirit. Who kept him on the cross? Not the nails. The nails didn't keep Jesus on the cross. The Holy Spirit kept him on the cross. How do you serve? How do you lay down your life? By the Holy Spirit. How do you look at life? A bountiful eye will be blessed, it says in Proverbs. How do you see life? You see, many see it as being a victim of life, but through Christ you see it by being victorious in life. How you talk, how you think, what you believe, what you say, how you minister, how you reach out, how you lay down your life, how we live in the Spirit of God. Are we human? Absolutely. Paul was troubled. He said he had no rest. He had no rest. I got to find out. I know that word is this one in the Greek. And it reminds me, it's anasine. It means he didn't have any rest, you know, in his spirit. He was worried and troubled. But then he was comforted by the good news from a far country, by Titus coming, and by having the fellowship, and recognizing that his investment was not in vain. His investment had value. It was written in the heart. And that's why I am so excited about it. I'm just sharing it with you, and I'm going to finish this, but I just met people that we met more than, 32 years ago. I met people that are, and it means a lot. Guys, it's written in our hearts. Who is sufficient for these things? Nobody. But God has made us able ministers of the New Testament. And I'm speaking about you, every one of us, and around the world. God has made us able ministers of the New Testament. And that we are a fragrance, a bouquet, a perfume, Chantel number 5, or whatever it is. A perfume, a fragrance. Sometimes I'm somewhere, I go, who's got the perfume on? I can smell the perfume. Who's wearing the perfume? And it's like us in life. You have a fragrance. You and I are ordained of God to be ministers of life. We're not complaining and cursing and swearing and gossiping and nasty people. We are praising God. Barry Quirk gave a great message on worship, and it blessed me. Worship, worshiping God, the Spirit of God. Kendall, his daughter, Veronica's daughter, and Barry's daughter. And Kendall, hallelujah, in Hungary as a worshiper. And then my granddaughter Mika, Holopainen. She spoke at the women's seminar in Finland, and it was so encouraging to hear. And Kendall went up there, and they had a beautiful time in Finland with the women's seminar, and I just heard a good report about it. Who is sufficient for these things? None of us. But Jesus Christ did it. And as we walk with him, we can see the work of the Spirit in the body of Christ. And it's real. I would say that it is so durable and resilient that it can go through anything. if we live in the Spirit. But we're only a little bit away from it being destroyed. I believe that so much happens through the body of Christ and the Spirit of God, and then I know where it can go when everybody gets in the flesh. When everybody gets underneath the things of life, everything that is happening, how fragile it seems to be. How living in the flesh, how we can tear up a marriage, a church, a friendship, a relationship, something precious to us. I understand how that can go, but I am rejoicing tonight that if we live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, rejoice in the Spirit, and become worshipers of God, how good it is when brethren dwell together in unity. How good it is when we have authority over the life that we are living, wherever it might be. How good it is when we can raise our voice and say, God is alive, and so are we. What an amazing thing it is when Titus comes back and he goes, hey, Paul, no, you got it all wrong. They loved your letter. They received it. They're right with God. They're behind you. They love you. They're praying with you. Everything is possible. We go, wow, Lord Jesus, you are awesome. You did that. Okay? Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Oh, God, thank you. Bless our months, Lord, our situations. That night I knelt down by my bedside. I had all those feelings, and I sensed what it's like to be underneath. I sensed it. It was real. I sensed it. And it didn't go away. And the next morning, I met Pastor Barry for breakfast. We had fellowship and it went away. Then I got in the car with Pastor Chaba and we drove off and it was gone. And I talked to him about it too later that week. And I understand that what it's like. And I know what it's like. I think we all know this. And Paul knew it when he was so much worried about what was going on. And he was so comforted, so encouraged, because other body members are on the same page. Other body members are thinking in the Spirit, living in faith, and having a good confession. And we have decided to love each other. We have decided to forgive each other. We have decided to embrace each other in truth and walk in it. Lord, thank you. In Jesus' name. And anyone listening, if you want Jesus in your heart, please say to Jesus, come into my heart. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Save me. Forgive me of all my sin and give me this new life. If I have an addiction, accept Christ. If you fall down 7 times in a day, accept Christ. If you're troubled by your life, accept Christ. If you say, no, it's not for me, I'm an artist, then we say, accept Christ. You say, no, I'm an intellectual, I know a lot, we say, accept Christ. You say you're religious, we don't care about it. You got to accept Christ. Put your trust in Christ and Christ alone. You are in trouble without Christ, but believe in Christ tonight. In Jesus' name, please. Say, yes, I want Jesus. Anybody raise your hand and say, I want Jesus in my life. I want to become a believer in Christ. I'm putting my trust in him. In Jesus' name. Anyway, okay, we got a hand. Thank you over here. God bless you. Anybody else? We want to welcome you. Yes, God bless you. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Amen. Thank you. In Jesus' name.